Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Well, my guest today is somebody who never gives pat answers and also asks very thoughtful questions. Say hello to my good friend and rotating co-host, Greg Jarvis.
Hey, Bob.
How are you doing?
Well, I'd like to lie and say, oh, I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?
Pretty good. It does sound kind of insincere when we always ask how somebody's doing. Like we're saying it out of obligation and not because we really care. But, you know, you're my friend, and I actually do care how you're doing.
Well, I get a sense of that. Thank you very much, Bob.
Yeah, I could tell. You're just lighting up all over.
No, I'm serious. But we do tend to ask that as a way of just saying hello to people. And if people really told us how they felt, we'd be like, whoa.
Right, yeah. You ask how someone is, and we probably, if they weren't doing as fine as they say they are, we might not really want to hear about it.
That's exactly right. Well, want to hear about it or not, today's topic I thought would be good to talk about would be depression. I find myself in the midst of a depressive episode, so I thought, you know what, it's probably good to talk about it.
That's very timely, because, of course, I would never mention a name over the radio, but there's somebody that I know that's going through some depression right now. Now, when you say depression, do you mean like what we would call clinical depression, where someone's depressed and they don't know why? I get depressed at times, but I usually, if I'm stressed out about something, I know why. I've never, to my recollection, had times where I'm suddenly depressed and down in the dumps and I have no idea what's going on, but I know that often when people use the word depression, that's the kind of depression they're talking about, or they don't know why they're depressed.
Right. Well, there's a lot of times we refer to that word kind of loosely from a physiological depression that we don't know what's going on. It's affecting us. It feels like a huge weight on us. It changes our sleep. It changes our mood. It can have all kinds of changes. And it's just like a dark cloud and no apparent reason, all the way over to the other end of the spectrum where we can be sad about something and we can refer to it as depression.
So people, where are you on the grand scale?
It's at the other end. It's physiological. I've had depression probably since I was a teen, but not diagnosed until I was in my 30s. And pretty clear. I mean, pretty classic recurrent depression.
And how often would you say that recurs?
It recurs at least every year, sometimes a couple of times throughout the year. I can't remember, I really can't remember a year without it.
And you and your wife both have degrees in counseling, so that's interesting. You're in a situation where you can probably understand more about what you're going through than the average person. And yet that doesn't necessarily mean that you can quickly do something about it.
Well, absolutely right. And then combine that with a relationship with God where rightly or wrongly, sometimes we approach that relationship that should take care of everything as well. And we know from walking with God that sometimes he allows us to walk through things and doesn't always get us out of things. I think that's real important to have people know. But yes, we can understand it a little bit better from an educational standpoint, understand what's going on. But yeah, that only helps you so far. It's like talking to a person I know who could not understand depression. They're like, well, why don't you just do this? And why don't you just do that? And then you could be happy. And I had to stop them. I'd say, you know what, right now, oddly enough, I am happy. This was a while ago. I'm happy enough right now, but it's weird because depression, for those who have it of a physiological nature, you can be in a good mood. You can be happy, what people call happy. Everything could be going okay in your life, but there's this cloud, it just feels like you're being pushed down and held. Okay.
Well, I want to understand, because apparently you're not feeling happy. Do you mean that you can have happy circumstances, but you don't have feelings to go with them?
No, I actually mean you can have feelings to go with them, meaning the depression feels like you're being held underwater. That's probably not a good analogy because I don't know anyone that would like that, and it feels like you're fighting for your life. It can feel like a pressure, like a darkness, sort of like a sludge you're walking through, but you can still be in a pretty good mood. I mean, I've joked with people. I've been pleasant around people. I've gotten up and faced the day, and I've known I was depressed. It's almost like having a broken leg. You can focus on the pain, and you can be in pain, and you can be moaning and groaning and holding your leg, or you can actually be engaged in other things and still have a broken leg, but and it can still limit you, but it's not all-consuming, and you can still have other feelings and other emotions that go along with it. So a severe depression, yes, you are down and out and sometimes hospitalized.
So you're not considering yourself going through a severe depression right now?
No, I wouldn't say severe, because then you're having thoughts that of self-harm. And
well, no, I know this is a very real phenomenon, because I've known so many people that have gone through this, not only friends, but in the ministry I encounter such people. I'm still trying to relate to it, because, again, when I'm depressed, something in my life is not going the way I want it to, and I know why. So if things are going okay, when you say you're depressed, and this might be a hard thing to do for the audience, but what exactly are you feeling? Again, I always think of depressed with a reference point. Without the reference point, what exactly are you feeling? You're not feeling happy, but there's no reason for it. It's kind of like, is it like someone saying, you know, I'm just in kind of a bad mood today, and I'm not sure why? Is it that kind of thing?
I guess you could compare it to that. If you've ever gotten up and you, or let's say you had a restless night and you absolutely got no sleep whatsoever, okay, that next morning you're depleted. You are just at the end before you've even begun. And you feel lethargic, and you feel sluggish, which is the same word as lethargic. I was trying to sound, you know, intelligent. So it's like you're trudging through mud, and that's how you're going through your day. Now, that's just a lack of sleep. I wouldn't say, you know, that's depression, but depression is like that. So even if you don't get sleep, if you go visit a loved one, if you go do something that you enjoy, if you go, you can still encounter other emotions and feelings, but it's like you're going through it with heavy boots on. And the boots don't keep you from doing it, although, again, a severe depression, you could be hospitalized. So I don't want
to... Will it affect something circumstantially, though? Will there be something that would happen to you that might not be that big of a deal, but it'll seem like a big deal because of the depression? Will it start changing your feelings about the stimuli that you are reacting to?
It certainly can, and I would think most of the time it would. Now, the first thing I would need to say is the depression doesn't affect the same, I mean, it doesn't affect the people, different people, the same way. It has general symptoms, but each person's different, so they shouldn't go looking and say, well, I'm not going through this, that, or the other, so this doesn't apply. No, it's different for each person, but I would say for myself, yes, when I'm in what I would call a depressive state, then it can affect other things. It can make joyful things less joyful, enjoyable things less enjoyable. It certainly can and would, although sometimes you can fake it through things. Even yourself, you can fake out and seemingly be up. And people are like, well, what's the deal? You don't look depressed, but you're walking around. You're pulling this ball and chain. You feel the tug. You're feeling pulled down, but you're still, you know, engaging. But I would say it has an effect, and sometimes can be quite an effect on the things around you, and can lead to what we would clearly consider depressive emotions, sadness, frustration, and all that. And opposite can be true, too. If you have these feelings that don't start off as depression that people sometimes refer to as depression, you can have sadness, disappointment, frustration, pressure, anxiety, stress, all of those, if they're there long enough, it can wear the body down, just like a lack of sleep. And in wearing the body down, it can change its state of being into a state of depression. So it's important that we take care of those things before it gets to that point. But sometimes it can start off as depression. People are predisposed to that.
So I'm going to be clear, Greg. You could be in San Diego, yeah, sitting on the ocean, having the trail boss cut from Pinnacle Peak, coming home and then watching Support Your Local Sheriff with James Garner, and you might still feel depressed because none of those things would be able to cheer you up.
Well, now see, now we're kind of mixing that up. I would still be happy to do those things. And of course, happy, as you know, is circumstantial. It has to do with circumstances. It doesn't have to do with true joy and whatnot.
And it could be a letdown because you'll eventually finish the steak. The movie will eventually be over.
Right.
Eventually,
right.
The sun will go down over the beach. Yeah.
I got to leave San Diego.
And you have to go back to Missouri. That could depress anybody.
Otherwise pronounced misery.
I never heard that one. Missouri, misery. Oh, yeah. I never made that connection before. That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. It's there, Bob.
I feel horrible. I'm having so much fun at the stake of my best friend's depression right now. This is not right.
Well, I think you brought up a real good point, because it's important to know that someone can be depressed and it doesn't always reveal itself in an external sadness, because if it doesn't, but someone is dealing with it, they or others around them can easily dismiss it or minimize it.
Well, and whenever I'm with you, you're always in a good mood generally, and a lot of times you'll talk about what's going on in your life, and a lot of times they are very serious things, and they're things that concern you, but that's not what you're talking about today. None of that you'd put under the category of depression, would you?
No, I would say today it's a feeling of kind of a darkness that you don't know why is there. But let's back up a minute. The first thing, if there's someone that's listening that is depressed, the one thing we don't want to do, like I mentioned, we don't want to minimize it. We don't say, oh, it's no big deal, whatever, it's going to be okay. You know, we trivialize it. It's going to be okay.
If they're driving the Pinnacle Peak right now, we should say slow down, not so fast. It may not be quite that easy.
Right. That's exactly right. Although going to Pinnacle Peak might be a way to lift it. I don't know. If so, would you certainly want to get that published. So, but no, there's sometimes there's a tendency for people, especially in the religious community, to throw a couple of verses out.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Christians can be the worst with, if you just have the Holy Spirit, you won't go through any of this.
Right.
You memorize this verse or that verse.
Yep. And that can be very harmful, because what it does is it drives a person away, or it makes the person feel terrible for feeling terrible, which is kind of circular.
Yeah, you're already feeling so bad, and now Christians come along in love, of course, for Christ's sake, of course, and they give you a heap of guilt to go with your state of depression that you already had.
Exactly. And that's, well, it's a shame, and that's to put it lightly. So we don't want to go that route. But at the same time, we don't want to justify and just feel like, well, I'm depressed, I have issues, and I'm just going to go ahead and keep living my life. And what we end up doing at that point, if we don't deal with it, sometimes we make poor choices during that time, and then we justify it, saying, well, I was depressed, what could I do? And make excuses for things. We don't want to do that either. You want to look at yourselves not more highly or lowly than we are. We want to look at ourselves as God sees us. We want to look at ourselves in truth. So can you deal with it through psychiatry and medication? Absolutely you can, but what I recommend first is what I did years ago during that year I was diagnosed. I was getting worse and worse. It got to the point where I wouldn't say catatonic, but I was sitting in a chair. I wasn't able to really go anywhere. I was just like a sloth. I was much slower than normal. And the way that it really came home to me is I was driving home from work and I was going below the speed limit. So that was not me. I'm normally right at the limit or over, but
you usually have that lead right in your foot there.
Pretty much right there. And I'm zipping in. I'm a very, aggressive, I drive offensively defensive. So, because I was raised in California, and I wasn't able to do it. I wasn't able to go more than like 45 miles an hour on the freeway. And I just knew something was wrong. I had the wherewithal back then, and I kept this. First, you want to look at what are you doing? Because there are things that we can do with a clinical depression that can help. And if we don't have depression, then it certainly will help. And so we want to look at the other areas of our life. We want to look at if we're active and exercising. And I don't mean going to Gold's Gym, lifting, you know, tons of weights. I just mean being active. Just, are you active? Are you?
You mean active like taking walks, that kind of activity?
Yeah, taking walks, getting your blood pumping a little bit, but you know, doing something that is healthful. And how are you eating? And are you sleeping rightly? Is there a sleep problem? Because if you're not getting appropriate sleep, if you're not getting good exercise, if you're not eating right, but you're eating junk, all these things, I think we take a lot for granted. But
well, that affects our biochemistry, and there are certain things. I remember one time I was out in Arizona, and a friend of mine was helping me fix my car, and we were out on his estate where he lived, and he was in the country, and he said something to me once I'll never forget. He said, "The Lord knows I need this. I need the country. I need the trees." And I started thinking, you know, God did construct us in certain ways. We need to exercise. We need to eat. We need to be in certain environments. And the depression that you're talking about is something that hits us at some kind of subliminal level that we don't understand. And it seems there are other things we could do in our life that, would you say it's fair to describe it as providing a positive subliminal counterpoint?
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, it's like trying to stay healthy by basically taking care of yourself, and that would be for physical health as well as mental health. So, yes, there are things that we can do. Now, again, we don't want to assume that in just doing those things we'll be fine, because a true clinical depression, a physiological depression, will override all of that. But
you're saying this would help. You're not saying this would be a cure-all.
I'm saying it could help, okay? But back when I was diagnosed, this is why I went to a psychiatrist, because at that time in my life, it was going well in my marriage. I was moving around and exercising. I was eating right. I was getting the right sleep. My job was going well. The kids were doing fine. Everything was doing fine, and I was checking and double-checking each area, and yet this depression kept getting worse day by day, week by week. And I gave it about, which I would never recommend this, but I gave it about 2 months, because I wasn't really exercising for that. I'm not a guy that, like, I know you look at my body and you think, hey, this guy's into health and exercise. No, not true. I don't like to exercise. So I thought, I'm going to start and I'm going to be diligent, even though I felt like crud. And I did for 3 months straight. And I just continually went down the rabbit hole. So I think that gives someone a sense of what they can do before they run off to the psychiatrist, because sometimes we're quick to go to the doctor and they're quick to prescribe, and it may lift spirits momentarily, but it may not even be the correct issue. There are no pat answers. There's not one size fits all. There's not a depression that affects all exactly the same way. So it's really, you have to deal with what comes up as it comes up. But we were talking about the perspective of a psychiatrist. Does the emotions affect physiology? Does physiology affect emotions? And they're both true. Which came first? I don't believe it really matters. I do believe that we need to be helpful in our approach prior to being depressed. And when we become depressed, that we don't trivialize it, we don't minimize it, we don't justify it, but we deal with it. And I think what we were talking about before the break, one way to begin to even narrow it down and to see what's going on or if something truly is going on is by doing what we can in every other area of our lives. And I say what we can, because it may be that we catch it too late. And it's like a merry-go-round. You feel terrible. You feel a pressure. You feel a weight and a darkness. And so you don't want to do anything, and you don't do anything, and you continue to feel that weight and pressure. And so, like, I was talking with someone a while ago, and they're like, well, why don't you just get off the merry-go-round? And it's like saying, well, I think the lame person that Jesus healed.
That's easier said than done.
Right. He should have just got up. Well, you can't just get up and do stuff. That said, there is a level that's different than being lame or, you know, physically not being able to get up and do something, because we do still make choices and we still do some daily activities early on. And it can get to be so bad that we don't even get out of bed. So I think the key, if someone's beginning to feel depressed and not sad over situations or things like that, those should be dealt with in and of themselves. If somebody feels sadness, we want to deal with that. If somebody feels stress, we want to deal with that. But if it gets to be a full-blown depression, sort of a generalized darkness and heavy weight and like walking through mud, we want to, before it gets too bad, try to do these areas. Try to check in to see physically, are we caring for ourselves? And that would be through what we're eating. Are we exercising? Are we sleeping right? We want to look at relationships. And I think that's key, because God is a communal God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, creating us for relationship, first with himself and then with others. And depression tends to take us out of that, sometimes pretty quickly. So we want to check on our relationships, both horizontal relationships with others and vertical relationship with God. How are those things going? And if at any point we begin to see something that's not where it should be and can make movement in that, we should. That's very good to do. And if we continue to do that and the depression gets worse, then we know we need to go get some outside help. And it may be that it is a physiological state and that medicine is going to be what it takes. On the other hand, if early on we find problems in one of these areas, oftentimes it's relationships, it's emotions, we need to talk to someone about that, whether it's a trusted friend or someone in the church or a licensed counselor, psychologist. Those are good things to do to try to keep it in check.
And it doesn't have to be an either-or thing. One could be having a chemical imbalance because their emotions are causing it, and they could deal with what's causing the emotions, but it could start with the chemistry and then create emotions and then cause circumstances to go well. And so if one is seeing a psychiatrist and getting some kind of prescription, that doesn't mean that they have to quarter off looking at other areas of their life as well.
Absolutely. And absolutely should not quarter off their lives. We should always try to maintain a balance in our life. God's a balanced God. He created us for balance. And, so we should definitely be looking at those other areas and doing what we can. And when we see those one of those areas suffering, that we try to deal with it and that we try to combat what depression will tend to lead us to, or a path that it will tend to lead us down. So I'm not sure you can talk about how when you feel depressed and the things that bring that about in you and what you do. Because oftentimes people isolate, they get away from people and avoid people, which is sometimes one of the worst things you can do.
In fact, I think that's very common when people are depressed. They just don't want to be around others.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely. Now, make a distinction. There are some people who are introverts who truly don't care to be around others a lot, or most of the time they don't get their batteries charged, so to say, being around others. They get their batteries charged being on their own.
Right, and that's perfectly fine. In fact, as a writer, I'm often an introvert, but as a radio talk show host, I'm often an extrovert, depending on which 50% of my life I'm living. There might be a day when I do want to just have some time to kick back on the beach and be by myself, and I'd be very disappointed if I ran into somebody I knew who invited me to join them.
Unless they were inviting you to Pinnacle Peak.
Well, that always goes without saying, Greg.
Right, right. Well, I probably should have let it go without saying. So we want to look out for the pitfalls that can add to it. And another pitfall that adds to it is focusing on it in and of itself. And the feelings that come with depression are often our mood changes, our attitude toward ourselves change. We start feeling negative feelings about us, about others, about the situation, about the world. And there's plenty of things in each of those to feel bad about. It definitely has an effect, but we are honest enough to struggle.
Exactly.
And, you know, and that's so important. That's what, not only spiritually, but that's what we need if we're going through depression or any other limiting or debilitating thing that hits us. We want to be honest enough to struggle.
And then to realize that in that honesty, we're going to provoke somebody else's honesty. They're going to be sharing their struggle, and suddenly we're not going to feel as alone.
Absolutely. That's the goal. That's the whole point of community, I think, is to be able to lift each other up. But this is those Christians we talked about earlier that throw a verse at us. We're to lift each other up, but oftentimes we need to come down to someone's level before we try to lift them. Otherwise, we're throwing them ladders, and ladders are hitting them in the head instead of getting with them in their struggle and sharing, because there's a lot of people out there in boundary.
As Christians, we tend to want to rush in really quickly and fix everybody, don't we?
Oh, absolutely we do. And I guess what makes that so damaging with depression is you didn't get depressed either circumstantially or physiologically overnight. It was a gradual process, and then you woke up and found yourself in that condition, and it won't be a quick and easy one-day fix. It's going to be gradual, which makes it hard. We don't like walking through things. We don't like waiting. We want salvation. Let me back that up. We want deliverance. We don't want salvation. Whereas deliverance from something is getting out. That's the goal.
I think the book of Job was written because here was a guy who, well, we know that it was circumstantial, but still, here's a guy that became as depressed as one could be. And his friends for 7 days just sat at his bed and did what you were saying. They came to his level. They kept their mouths shut. But then after 7 days, they couldn't resist giving him advice. And the advice they gave him, if you compare it, some of the advice in the book of Job to the advice in the book of Proverbs, it was good advice in and of itself in its own right. It did not apply to Job. And they were making things worse for their friend. I think a lot of times Christians, they're so eager to rush in like a knight in shining armor and help that they end up doing far more damage than helping.
Absolutely true. And I want to underline here too, because you kind of mentioned with emphasis that it was circumstantial. But circumstances can lead to, like we mentioned before, it can lead to depression. So if we're depressed, we don't want to say, oh, it's just what I'm going through. It's just the marriage. It's just the job. It's just that. No. Those things can weigh so heavily on us. And whether they should or shouldn't isn't the issue. This isn't a time for should and should nots. Because that's not what Scripture is about. Scripture is not about shoulds and should nots, but that's how Christians a lot of times approach it and then throw it at others. It's about relationship that can be had and that we can walk through life in a renewed relationship with God.
And isn't it true too, Greg, that circumstances can affect us in ways that we were not necessarily aware? Sometimes there might be things we went through as little kids. Maybe some of them we've forgotten about as we've gotten older. Maybe things we've remembered, but the impact of them we never quite saw. And they start affecting our emotions as adults because they're things that haven't been dealt with. And then that has an effect on our biochemistry, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. We are so wonderfully, incredibly made. And if anyone's ever had the experience of hearing a song in the background or smelling a smell and suddenly some emotion comes,
it can wake up something that was laying dormant for a long time.
Absolutely. And oftentimes it's a wonderful memory, but sometimes it can be an awful memory, and it can also then weigh on us and begin to change us. So,
the emotions never forget. Even if our cognitive functions forgot about it, our emotions did not forget. So somebody else comes along and we're walking along with this open wound. Somebody comes near us and all they do is touch the wound and we feel like we're being stabbed all over again. And the other poor person is saying, well, what did I do? All I did was gently brush against you.
They have no understanding of it. That's exactly right. And we don't have control over those things. And it's important to realize that, because I think we want to have control in our pride a lot of times. We want to be in control. We don't want to feel weak. We don't want to feel out of control. We don't want to depend on anyone else. And that oftentimes includes God. But what we really need instead of deliverance from something is salvation. We need to be redeemed. We need the goal to be God himself. And this is not an easy, quick fix, but I really think it's important. And it has to do with, let me bring in Psalm 44. I think it's real important to not give in to depressive symptoms, but to deal with them. Now, some people would say we fight them, you know, like you fight cancer, and that's fine if you want to word it that way. But to deal with them, and one thing we don't want to do is talk ourselves further into depression. I'm depressed. I'm a worthless worm. I'm no good. I'm terrible. I'm all these things that tend to pile up. What we want to do is what the psalmist did in Psalm 44. And David's asking, why are you in despair, my soul? Why this? Why that? Do you not realize what God has done? Do you not realize this? In other words, he talked, rather than having the self talk to us, because the self is depressed. It's such a powerful passage and so important, not just for, what we're talking about for depression, but for everybody too, because my life isn't, I would love it if my life would start each day with, as a deer pants after water, so my soul pants after God. I love that. I want that. And that cuts me all the way to my core. And that even when I'm depressed, this is going to be my next point. Even when I'm depressed, that does something. It's like a penetrating, it's like a lighthouse light penetrating fog. That's the best.
We can maybe not know why we're depressed, but we do know that by moving closer to God, something good is going to happen.
Absolutely. That may not take that depression away, and that's fine.
You're always so honest when you come on our radio show, and especially today. Many Christians would not come out and admit that they struggle with this, and I think in doing so, you're touching a lot of other people that are struggling with it. So thank you for that.
Well, you're absolutely welcome. Right, because that's all I know to be is just who I am. So I guess that is a good thing. And hopefully God will use that. And that's the key to all of this, Bob, that I don't want to let go unheard. And I really want to underline is it, rather than let our depression talk to us and lead us down that dark path, we want to talk to ourselves. We want to talk to that depression. We want to, and I'm not talking about positive thinking and all that. That's a bunch of hooey as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it does have an effect, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about speaking truth into a situation that you know is true and talking to yourself, preaching to yourself, knowing the goodness of God, knowing Jesus's mercy and grace and knowing the truth and basking in the truth, because for those who are Christians, at least my experience, when I read truth, it is cutting, it is dividing between bone and marrow. It goes deep to the soul. And I know I've talked to friends of mine that are non-Christians, like at work. They don't get it. They don't have a clue of what I'm talking about. That there are times when I'll hear a verse or I will read scripture and dwell on a truth, and it is incredibly uplifting and sometimes mind-blowing. Now, that doesn't take depression away, but it helps put us on better foundation, especially a better foundation than letting the depression talk.
Absolutely.
That's part of the way we were created for community and relationship, first and foremost with God. Keep that built up and then turn to someone else nearby. Don't close yourself off and don't write off the possibility of psychiatric intervention with medicine. There's a lot of good medicines, although medicine's not always the answer. I think the thing to do is to be open with whatever works for you. I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't want a diagnosis, or I don't want to be on medicine the rest of my life. Don't look at the rest of your life, because as we learned in the New Testament, sometimes it's you fool. Your soul will be required tonight. So,
well, it's like with any sickness, there's the cure, but then there's also some kind of painkiller that they're going to give you in the meantime. So if there's an emotional reason that's causing the problem that needs to be dealt with in the long run, there may be some kind of prescriptive drug that'll treat the symptoms in the short run. And again, that's assuming which came first, the chicken or the egg. We're both fully admitting that it could be starting with a chemical problem, too. We understand that.
Right. It absolutely can either way. But the key is not necessarily getting that in order, because that's not as important as what is actually going on. And yes, if there are emotional, relational issues at hand, certainly deal with those. If there's sleep, or if there's food issues, if there's exercise issues, certainly deal with those. If there can be a medicine prescribed that works, fine. I kind of liken it to attention deficit disorder. And when I would work with people, and parents would bring these kids in and they wanted medicine, that's what we want. We want medicine. And I'd be sure and let them know, do you know that the medicine will simply, if it's truly needed, it'll become obvious that the medicine will simply provide a good foundation for you then to work on focus, attention, behavior, manners with your child, because those things still need to be dealt with. And almost every time they look dumbfounded thinking, no, my child has this, the medicine should take care of it.
No, and I would think, and I'm saying this, of course, as some novice, but I would think we would never want to be on some medicine the rest of our lives, no matter what we're going through.
And that's exactly right. And parents would say that about their kids with ADD, and there's people I've talked to about with depression that say the same thing. And all I ever say to that is, I don't know what the rest of our life means. And as long as something works, if it's for depression, that's terrific. Work with your doctor, and in time, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, in time, you can work with them to wean off. Then be honest and open enough that if the symptoms come back and you're doing these other things well in relationship and eating, sleeping, and all that, and the symptoms still come back, give it another run. It may be that you're predisposed through, I mean, it may be that this runs in your family. It may be that you, for whatever reason, whatever has caused it to begin with, is now, it's going to be there. Sometimes it's a cyclical thing. Some people have cyclical depression. It's every year, about the same time, about 3 months. So,
well, sure, because similar seasons and similar circumstances will trigger things.
Seasonal affect disorder is absolutely one of the things to look for. And there's things to do for that that are a little different, light therapies and whatnot. So the best thing is to try to understand the best of what's going on with you. Do what you can to deal with it in a healthy way. And try not to be put off by any one thing as if it's going to be the rest of your life, because you don't know that. Just do what works. The main thing is be honest enough about it in the situation, and don't walk through it alone. That's absolutely the worst.
Yeah, that seems to be one of the most important things you're saying tonight.
Absolutely. Community is everything. And again, first and foremost with God, drink deep from his water and just immerse yourself. But I would not limit it to that, because some people will berate themselves and put themselves down for, I'm reading, I pray, and I'm still depressed. Well, absolutely. Like I said, he doesn't promise to take things away from us, but he promises to walk through it with us.
He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke was something that two oxen shared. Jesus is asking to share our experiences with us. That doesn't mean there won't ultimately be deliverance, but initially it's about the relationship itself.
Yes, yes. And sometimes we're not in a position to remember that. We're not in a position to tell ourselves that. And that's why we need other people in our lives to remind us, to encourage us, to lift us up in prayer, as well as if they've gone through something similar, to walk with us in an understanding way. you know, and sometimes it can just be such a small thing to check in on a phone call. How are you doing today? Hey, did you get out and walk? Hey, let's go to lunch, whatever. Just to maintain that contact, to not allow someone to shut themselves off, because that's part of depression, and we don't want to give in to that. But we want to continually feed ourselves light. And when we can't do that anymore, we want to be around others that can also do that for us and with us. So important. Because God's the one that's going to be glorified through all of this.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.